Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning, I'm Charlie Herman. Joining me are regular contributors Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine and Joe Nocera with The New York Times. And a week of marches, meetings, speeches, and lots of pledges to do a lot more about climate change is coming to an end in New York City this weekend. We saw about 300,000 people take to the streets for the People's Climate March. Then world leaders, including President Obama, attended the UN Climate Summit. And global corporate leaders gathered here as well, affirming their commitment to reduce emissions and embrace sustainable practices. But as things are winding down and we move on, what's next? What's going to be coming? Rana, if we look at the business part of this equation, there were a lot of promises, and some of them have a lot of potential, but a lot of them are just voluntary pledges. So is that going to be enough to really make a change?
Well, in a word, no. I mean, I think it's great that there's now a kind of a momentum behind this. It feels like, you know, what Occupy may have been a couple of years ago, the climate change issue could be for the next few years. And that's all good news. But if you look at the numbers, if you look at what we're investing, say, as a nation right now into renewables and clean energy, it's $2 billion a year. The subsidies that we give to the fossil fuel industry globally are about $500 billion a year. So it's just, it's a really small fraction of what we need to address the problem in a serious way.
And Joe, is there some sort of way to get this more embedded in the DNA of companies so that they really do follow through and they make a greater commitment to this?
I do think companies generally are taking climate change more seriously than governments. In the sense that, you know, they are trying to retrofit their buildings and Apple recently announced it was going to try and extend to the supply chain various good green practices.
Well, so, I would actually agree with that. I think that companies are in some ways taking the lead in terms of the practical steps forward because, you know, they're the ones that have to pay higher insurance premiums. They're the ones that see the efficiency savings from doing this. I actually agree with that.
But the other part is, you know, the big moves have to be by government. What's the single most straightforward thing we could do about climate change? And that would be put a carbon tax on.
Yes.
You know, companies can't do that. The government has to do that.
Well, a large part of the debate seems to come down to you can't have economic growth and lower emissions at the same time. There's sort of a choice between the two. Is that really a false choice?
I think it's a false choice. I mean, there's been a number of high-profile economists that have actually written entire books about how we could have a green stimulus plan. You know, Joe Stiglitz, how this was a big thing for him right after the crash, that, you know, there should be a lot more done around creating jobs that has to do with renewables and connecting the dots between clean energy and economic growth.
At the same time, people don't seem to think that this is something that needs to be addressed now or that they don't, you know, if you look at surveys and polls, there was one that just came out recently from Yale and George Mason that found that people sort of put this off in the distance, that they think it's something that they're not going to have to deal with. How difficult is that reality to getting something passed in Congress to get corporations to really embrace this?
It's a giant problem and maybe the biggest problem of all. Despite the calls by scientists, despite the marches, despite everything, there is still a sense that there's plenty of time. And the answer is that there probably isn't.
Well, there's one group that seems to think the time is now, and that's actually the Rockefeller Brothers Fund. They made their money from Standard Oil, from John D. Rockefeller, and now they have announced sort of in a symbolic move that they're going to sell their investments in companies that are involved in fossil fuels. There's this big divestiture movement that's out there to try and get endowments and pension funds, universities to not invest in fossil fuels. Rana, do you think that this has legs? It could make a difference.
I do. I think it's really important for two reasons. One is just the political impact of the fact that the Rockefellers are divesting from fossil fuels. If you look at how divestiture has been used, you know, in South Africa, for example, it has an economic impact, but in some ways it has a bigger political impact when someone says, this is a big issue. We want people to pay attention to it. We're going to take this move. But there's another thing here, which is the Rockefellers and, you know, the fact they represent the energy business, that's important because we actually need the fossil fuel industry and the old energy industry on board with this change. And they have all the reason in the world to be on board with it because, you know, the access to fossil fuels in places that are not owned by OPEC, not run by state-owned oil companies, not in conflict zones, is minuscule. It's about 12% of the entire known reserves of the world. So they have all the reason in the world to evolve their business model.
We need to point out, however, that the divestiture by the Rockefellers or by universities, which is also happening, is not going to make a huge economic difference. They sell their shares, somebody else is going to buy them. It has the potential down the line to make a political difference. But even there, I think it's further into the future than you might realize. And, you know, we still do need fossil fuels right now. And demonizing the fossil fuel companies doesn't necessarily seem to me to be the way to go, even if you want a greener world.
I agree with that. I think actually getting them on board and rewarding them even more for R&D in clean energy is the way to go.
So one day we could see Exxon as the solar power company of the world?
You know what? It's not out of the ballpark. I mean, these are the companies that actually have the most cutting-edge technology in these areas. And frankly, they already spend a lot in them to begin with. It's just a fraction of their overall business, which goes to the original problem.
Well, let's take a look at some of the other stories that we're watching in the more short term. Joe, what are you paying attention to?
Well, I couldn't help notice that Cadillac is moving to New York. Cadillac has been struggling mightily in recent years, and it is, you know, supposed to be the luxury brand for General Motors. And it recently announced they have the new head of the Cadillac division, and he recently announced that he's moving the headquarters to New York in order. And he said there is no city in the world where the inhabitants are more immersed in a premium lifestyle than New York. On the other hand, I don't see that many Cadillacs on the streets of New York City, and I hope they have something else in their back pocket besides the move.
Well, Joe, you've actually stolen my thunder. I was actually going to talk about Cadillac this week as well, and I'll add, because I have a cover story on a GM and Mary Barra in this week's Time, I'll add that I think that Cadillac is going to do a lot better in China than they will in Soho. China is actually a huge market. It's already the number one market for Buick, which is another GM brand. They really want to make Cadillac hot there, and I think that that a luxury brand like that can actually work better in some ways in the emerging market than it can in the U.S., where no matter how much they rebrand it, no matter how much advertising they throw at it, they've still got a long way to go to convince people that it's a status symbol to be in a Cadillac versus a Mercedes or a BMW in New York or London.
Well, we'll be watching those stories and all the week's financial news here at WNYC.org. And if there's a story that you're looking ahead to that you think we should take a closer look at, let us know. Send an email to moneytalking@WNYC.org. And, of course, you can check out this program and all of WNYC's podcasts available on iTunes. Joan O'Sara with The New York Times, Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.